League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Now bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham. Brendan is back. Brendan is back, and he's behind the glass. It's a Tuesday edition of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. How you guys holding down the fort? Holding down the fort okay?
We always do. It's always like, where in the world is Jeremy? It's between where's Waldo and where in the world is Jeremy?
Where's Branham? San Diego?
You're not in San Diego.
It's a play on words, Blankers. No, I'm on the freshwater, the Gulf of Clearwater. But glad to be with you guys. Great to see y'all as always.
Damn well better.
Looking at you at Twitch. Astros played baseball yesterday. They lost at baseball yesterday.
You call that playing baseball? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you lose games from time to time. Although Luis Garcia, not a great play, trying to throw the ball at second base to get Miles Straw, former Houston Astro.
Self-induced.
Yeah,
and I don't think he would have gotten him anyway. I don't know why, when he fielded that ball, he already knew that Straw had gotten a jump. Just take the out at first. But, like, he was so undecided and then just let it fly, and Altuve didn't even try for it. He's like, nope, not getting that one.
He was out of there. He was gone. He was on vacation mode with that throw. You know, though, as a pitcher, that's not on the pitcher. That's on the catcher.
He's got to be shouting where to go, right?
Yeah. Unless Louis went rogue there. You know, that's a pitcher-catcher play. That's not all Luis Garcia. And Dusty backed him up after the game saying that he thinks it was the right play. Uh-uh. That wasn't the right play.
Nope.
Maybe if there was nobody out in the inning, but if you just get the out at first, there's two down. Yeah, you have runners at second and third. Not a great spot, but you're also a pitch away from getting out of the
right
inning. It's much different with no outs and one out.
Yeah, no, and it wasn't the only incident that where you put the blame on Garcia. He was throwing from behind all game. 2-0 counts,
yep,
constantly. And the one guy in that lineup, you know, you cannot get behind to, but two, most importantly, you cannot throw to. If there's a base open, it is in your best interest to pitch around Ramirez and hope he chases something bad. And if he doesn't, you know, you live to see another guy that has a less chance to beat you than in a 2-1 count. As I think it was 2-0, 2-1, he gets away with one and then just throws one down Main Street, and Ramirez deposits it in the Astros bullpen. And you're like, well, that wasn't exactly the best way to pitch him.
You know, and what's frustrating with that, too, is like, because, I mean, it's Jose Ramirez. He's going to get his on you. Like, it's one of the best hitters in all of baseball. He's going to have success from time to time. Now, you can work around him. You're mentioning, you know, first base is open, not a great spot to pitch him. Well, I don't think it was in that spot, but I'm with you for the most part. The thing that bothered me the most in that inning, it's not the home run to Ramirez, because it's Jose freaking Ramirez. Like, mm-hmm. he's gonna hit bombs. He's going to have productivity offensively. He's going to hurt you with his bat. To me, it was the leadoff walk to the nine hole. That to leadoff walk to a nine hole always comes back to burn you. You don't walk that guy, you get that guy out. You never face Ramirez with anybody on base.
I think he did it twice where he walked the nine hole hitter. I want to say for some reason that first base was open at least one time when Ramirez was
he
up.
Might
first
have.
Base
Maybe
was
it was a
open.
Wild pitch or a pass ball or something like that.
And then on top of all of that, their big bopper who can't hit his way out of a wet paper bag, Fromhill or whatever.
Not Miles Straw.
He walked him twice too, and I'm going, oh my God, he's just not on his A game, and there's nothing. I kept saying, well, if they keep it within a run or two, they're going to be okay, and they just and then Byron Abreu does it again. Boy, oh boy, he's a front runner.
He's a mop up guy. Who cares if he gives
up
runs?
He's really not supposed to be.
Innings.
Jeremy, Dusty doesn't look at him that way, and Jeremy, you need to realize, Dusty has higher aspirations for a guy that when he has no one on base, he looks like Goose Gossage. And when he's got guys on base, he looks
– Goose Gossage?
Yeah, I mean, he's throwing 100 miles an hour. He looks intimidating. He looks like, you know, I dare you to come at me because I'm going to set you down. The minute he get self-induced most times. He gets in any kind of trouble or has any kind of runners on base. Look the hell out because it's about to just completely give way.
What a pull. Like, I'm just wondering why Goose Gossage was at the top of mind.
I just pulled a reliever that was intimidating, that threw hard.
He was a stud. Yeah. He was. Goose Gossage was awesome. I like the pull. I just, man, that was well done. I'm impressed is what I'm trying to tell you. That was outstanding.
He is my new Josh James because it's so disappointing to see someone that hyper-talented with that kind of arm that just can't figure it out.
I saw some people talking about the – because Luis Garcia gave up those two runs in the third inning, and it was self-induced, right? He threw the ball into center field. Wasn't a good play. You know, that's something on the pitcher. That's something on the catcher. Should have just went to first, get the out, second out of the inning. You're one pitch away from getting out of a jam in the third. I don't think it would have mattered at the end of the day. It's just something to look back on as something that was a lead story from that game.
Yep.
There was some Twitter dialogue, Blankers, and I'm curious where you stand on this as a former pitcher because we all know that an error by a position player – you know, it leads to unearned runs. It doesn't affect the ERA. There's some thought that if a pitcher commits an error, it should still be an earned run.
I completely agree. And this has come from a pitcher's perspective. But the first thing that I was thinking about when it happened was how many earned runs he got. And then I was like, oh, my God, that's right. Even though he committed the error, it's still an error which caused the run to score. So, therefore, he's not going to get charged with that. And I think when it's self-induced, when you do it to yourself, you've earned it. I think that there's nothing you can do when it's out of your hands and out of your control. Some other guy makes an error. But when it's on you and you make the mistake that leads to runs scored, I firmly believe that that should be on the pitcher.
Yeah, see, I disagree, and this is coming from a position player. I just, like, whenever we look at an ERA, we're not grading the pitcher based on their defensive prowess and their defensive skill, right?
Right.
Like, that is their arm. That is their ability to pitch. So, like, I'm not going to die on that hill. I'm not going to stand on the table like I'll stand on the table that it's RBI, it's not RBI. Mm-hmm. But I'm good with the way that it is.
See, to me, I always felt like it would, you know, because it was really bothersome, and you can't let it show that it bothers you, but... You know, if one of your teammates, you know, boots an easy ground ball or you know, something happens and the run scores, at least you know you're not getting charged with the earned runs, but it's still it doesn't take the sting away from the fact that you every time you go out there, you want to try and hold the other team down. But when it's on you and whether it's a mental or a physical breakdown, I think you're responsible for your runs that you gave up and no one else contributed to it, then I think I completely understand the argument that it should be on them.
Yeah. I get it. I just prefer the way it is now. But whatever. 713-780-ESPN if you have thoughts about it. 713-780-3776. Late in the game yesterday, it was out of hand. It was already 6-0. The Minute Maid faithful that stuck around. They just did the seventh inning stretch. You know,
they do the wave?
I heard that they were doing the wave. I saw Dre on Twitter saying they were doing the wave down 6-0. Why not? I mean, you're not having any other
fun
anyways.
That was yesterday. Today is today. Let's move on.
Then you have the Stars and Bright, all that stuff in the middle of the seventh. And then Alex Bregman hits a solo homer.
Jeremy, that's the seventh inning stretch. And it's tradition that they play deep in the heart of Texas after they sing America the Beautiful.
I don't think they do that every game.
Pretty sure they do.
I thought that was like a Sunday thing.
Oh, my God. Welcome. Okay. All right.
713-780-ESPN. Which one of the two of us is an idiot? It's probably me. 713-780-3776.
I mean, any day that ends in a Y,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, tomato, tomato. Anyways, what I was trying to get to, Alex Bregman hit the solo home run there in the bottom of the seventh. Is Breggers back, Blankers?
Well, I mean, if we get into this, which we have flirted with in the past, now that Brendan is back, the Brendan blessings, which change careers and turn seasons around in a positive way, and then there's you that has tried to put to bed and bury several members of the Houston Astros. The latest on your list was Bregman, who had a two-hit game this weekend and had a home run last night. So whatever works, if you do the Jeremy Jenks, which is, as you like to call it, foot-and-mouth disease.
Yeah, Branham foot-and-mouth.
Branham foot and mouth disease. Whatever you do,
well, you add the disease.
Well, because having
you make
children
it uglier than it is.
It's well. Let me just tell you something. When you're a first time dad, and now I'm a dad of two, and I hear, "Oh, she's got hand, foot, and mouth disease." I'm sorry, she has a disease. No, it's just what they call it. It goes away quickly, but it's from being in classrooms or with lots of kids or whatever. I'm like, it doesn't sound like it's just a random passing little, like a cold. But so we're going to call it Branham foot and mouth disease, because it's something that definitely with you is going to linger forever because you continue to do it. I don't know
it's
that
been
he's
going
back.
On my whole life.
I don't think he's back per se 100%.
Right.
Very encouraging signs. As you and I said, the things that I look at with Alex Bregman that I'm still concerned about is the level of strikeouts, because it's been very high lately because he's always got such a good eye at the plate. That concerns me. You can lead the league in walks, but it also doesn't translate well if you also are striking out at a very high clip, which he never normally does, and he definitely has been doing lately. So hopefully, and I'll say this, he got squeezed a couple of times. His first couple at bats, there were some balls outside off the black that were called strikes on him that put him in a hole early, and he handled it very well. But, man, I don't know that I would have, because I thought he got screwed on a couple of calls, but I still believe that he's going to be fine in the long run.
You wouldn't have handled something well? No, not you. Not
well,
you.
You know, I have a tendency to get a little bit animated, emotional, and pissed off. But, yeah, you know.
I was encouraged with Bregman coming on. I wanted to talk about it yesterday, but our show was just jam-packed
with
goodness that we never got
to. Once we get rid of
it.
The producer, everything flows.
Yeah. Which our shows tend to be off the rails whenever Brendan's
I told
not
him. That's the first thing I told him this morning.
Yeah, we get a little bit off the rails and go off the deep end whenever Brendan's not around to bring us back into where we need to be. But I was actually encouraged with Bregman's game on Sunday. I think he was 1-for-2, walked a couple of times, and he had that double. And he also hit a rocket for an out. The one time he got out was a laser. So I was encouraged with him coming off of Sunday. Mm-hmm. There was one very encouraging thing yesterday. There was one thing I was discouraged about with Bregman, too, though. The home run obviously was great. What I loved about that was he went opposite field. It was an oppo taco, which I think is something why he's struggling right now. Because you remember that at bat in the first inning. He got a breaking ball low and outside. What do you want to do with a breaking ball low and outside, even if you're protecting?
Take
it the other way. He had a weak rollover grounder to third base. If we see Bregman rolling over on, you know, off-speed stuff on the outside corner, that's when you know he's struggling. And then seeing him go opposite field for a home run, I think he's starting to come out of it. I really think that Bregman's about to take off here pretty soon.
And I hope you're right, because I've stood behind him overall the entire way because of the fact that he's just too good of a hitter. And now that he's healthy, for me to not believe that he's going to be fine. And so we're not talking about a guy that should be over the hill. We're not talking about a guy that seems like he's being limited physically. So it was just a matter of time for him to settle in. And it's a lot of like the conversations we've had with the pitchers too. Look, the hitters, no matter how much they were working out in the offseason, it just takes a while for you to get into regular season shape, and with abbreviated spring training after a lockout, and you don't know how many guys got in, how much work, but some guys are on a different time frame and need those at-bats in spring training, but I believe he's going to be fine. He's not Yuli. He's not 38, 39, so I think sooner rather than later, we'll see the real Alex Bregman come back.
Yeah, we think Yuli's 38, 39. 713-780-ESPN. Is Breggers coming out of it? Is Bregman coming out of this slump that he's been on? Still very high on base, still leads the league in walks, homered yesterday when the game was already out of reach. But did homer yesterday, oppo taco too. 713-780-ESPN will take your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Blankers also is going to take a little bit of a deeper dive in this whole Brendan Boost, Jeremy Jinx. I need to know more about it. And one player we thought was back, I'm not so sure that he is. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, you want to feel like you're back again, back in your heyday, back when you were feeling your best? Well, you should get to Apollo Men's Health, both men and women. I'm talking to you, because if you don't have that get up and go in your daily life like you used to have, it's not about trying to win an Olympic medal or a contest. It's about trying to win the day. And if you want to win the day by having more energy and getting everything on your list done, you go to Apollo Men's Health. They can help you in a variety of ways. It starts with all the different ways they can give you hormone therapy, they can give you more energy in your life. Maybe it's just as simple as a B12 shot like I get every week, which gives you a little extra energy throughout your daily regimen. If you're trying to get on a workout program, they can help you with that too. It starts with a full body composition analysis, which breaks down body fat and levels on muscle mass and all these different things. And then there's days when you've been working out for a couple weeks, you feel like I'm sore, I'm in a rut, I'm not making the gains I need to be making. Well, then you look at your body comp and do another one and say, oh, but my body fat's down, my weight's down, my muscle mass is up. I'm actually doing some things that are making a positive impact on my life. So those are the way that they can help you. They can help you recover quicker as well. They have stuff for your smoothies. They have two locations to better serve you near downtown Houston, soon to be a third in League City. Check them out right now. Go to apollomh.com. When you're there, sign up for your first appointment. When you do, you'll find out most major insurance is accepted. There's discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank. Get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis when you make your first real appointment. And then talk to them about all the things that are bothering you. Tell them what you want to do, what the goals are. They'll put you on a plan that works. They're good people doing great things on a daily basis. Check out the people at Apollo Men's Health.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Twitch is talking about the game yesterday, saying it was a dismal night. It was, but It's baseball. 162, it's going to happen. Flimsy saying the offense has been sad for the majority of the season, yet they have 27 wins. It's amazing.
Where's the blame, though, Jeremy? Is it in the Space City uniforms?
I don't like them. They're 1-2. I'll be honest.
They came out on the field last night, and Lisa came in, walked in the living room. She goes, oh, dear God, what's that? And I go, What are you talking about? She goes, are the Astros wearing scrubs? I go, No, those are those Space City unis.
It's softball-esque. I'm not going to lie.
It's completely softball. If they wore their white pants with those jerseys, they'd be fine.
I agree. If they wore the white pants with that, I would be okay with them. And throw the win-loss record, I don't care. I'm not going to really – I'm just a little stitious, so I don't really care too much about the win-loss record, but I'm just not a big fan of them. I don't think they look great. Dr. Dre saying, darn near got shut out 3 times since scoring 13 in Boston. I got a fix for you, Blankers, if you're interested in how to score more runs.
Do tell.
Flip-flop Altuve and Bregman. Score more runs. Get the on-base guys on base. Let the power guys drive them in.
Well, that means Bregman is not completely washed like you were indicating.
I never said that he was washed.
I mean, in certain terms. But here's the thing. Bregman? He's got to get on. He's got to be a better version of Alex Bregman than what you were anticipating that we've been seeing.
He leads the league in walks. He gets on base fine.
He's also been striking out a lot.
He's got a 349 on-base percentage. Strikeouts just an out, though.
Okay. I don't know how you're going to say he leads the league in walks, but strikeouts are just an out. If you're out, you're not on base. If you're not on base, you're not going to be driven in.
That's why I told you the on-base percentage first. He's got a 349 on base. Altuve's 352. Like, would that surprises you, right? Like, whenever I look up those numbers, you would think Altuve's on base way more than Alex Bregman, but he's not. 352, 349. It's not much of a difference at all.
Okay.
A lot of people don't like Bregman there because they say you got to have speed at the top of the order. I'll take a guy –
Kyle Schwarber speedy?
Yeah, I mean, you're helping out my side of the argument.
I know.
Now.
No, I'm saying I'm not like one that believes the old school mentality that your leadoff hitter has to be like your speedy center fielder that is going to steal bases.
Like Straw.
Yeah. I believe that the entire mold was changed in terms of what a leadoff hitter was. The prototypical leadoff hitter was thrown out the window, and it started with the Astros when you started putting a guy like George Springer at the top of the lineup that had pop, that hit for power, that hit for a good average, that wasn't even a great base runner, but he was just a guy that could start the party in so many different ways that you wanted him up there at the start of the top of the lineup. It started to change things for everybody. Now you look across the league, Shohei Ohtani's batting leadoff. Kyle Schwarber's batting leadoff. The entire mentality through analytics and that thought process has changed everything.
Let's be honest, too. Craig Biggio, whenever he was in his late 30s and batting leadoff, he probably had the same amount of speed as Alex Bregman. I'll ask you this question, because in a perfect world, you would love on-base plus speed at the top of your order. Like, I don't dismiss it entirely. I think it has more value than zero. But whenever I ask you the question like this, would you rather have a slow guy that gets on base a ton in your leadoff spot or a really fast guy who never gets on base? Which of the two would you rather have? For me, it's the slow guy that gets on base a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Because that's, again, you're the igniter. You're the guy that's getting the party started, setting the table, and then your big bats come up, and then you've got more multiple opportunities to score, and it doesn't have to be playing small ball, manufacturing one run. Now you got a chance to get a crooked number on the board because you've got guys that are on the base paths while you've got your big bats that could hit a home run, could hit an alley, could hit a gap, and it's much better.
Bizzle's complaining on our text line, 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. He's saying, yo, Brendan, it's Bizzle. What's up with the Friday fire? Here's my number. Here's my email. Bizzle, he's on it. He was on vacation. Brendan will be with you. If you keep complaining, I'm going to take the $50 to Frankie's Italian Kitchen. Just kidding. Brendan will be in touch very, very soon. All right, Blankers, what do you mean? You got into it a little bit last segment about the Brendan boost and the Jeremy Jinx, Branham foot and mouth, you call it disease, even though those words never came out of my mouth.
I'll say it again.
What are some of the examples of this? Because you mentioned Bregman is one. What are some of the others?
You had the eulogy because you were going to bury Yuli.
Well, I look right on that.
You had you were done with Odorizzi. You were there was one other. Oh, you Altuve was past his prime. You were ready.
He is.
You were ready to crap all over
him. Double
down
on that. I wasn't crapping on him. I said he's still a very good player.
A lot of people that came at you pretty hard about they were very offended by the way you treated Altuve.
Because fans don't like talking about their players in a negative light.
Well, nor should they when you're as good as Altuve and you just didn't give him his props. At Bregman, you started the disdain for Bregman's game last week. So, you know, in a lot of ways, it can hopefully...
You're making things up.
No, I'm just trying to sensationalize the situation. I think from Brendan's standpoint, all he did was resurrect Jake Odorizzi's career.
He
picked
that.
The proper song that was that was fitting of Jake Odorizzi's career. It completely brought Jake Odorizzi back not only to the forefront, but positively, and he was doing great things. I piggybacked on it with a tweet every day to ask people what they would... You know, what they thought he would do, and they felt that was part of the aura of positivity around Jake Odorizzi. So Brendan does things to resurrect. You do things to try and destruct.
That's do I point. Do things to try to destruct?
You try to destruct the player's career. Now, I hope it works as a jinx. I hope it's a jinx that works in the way where every player just takes it personal because we know they all listen, and then they snap out of it, but I don't know.
For my entire life, anytime I say something that actually makes sense, and I know I don't say a whole lot of stuff that actually makes sense, but it always backfires. Like, as soon as I open my mouth about something that it may be even very obvious, it completely backfires. Like, I remember
yesterday,
there was...
for instance, you said that there's no way they're going to give Miles Straw a video. And the minute that I heard
that
there was a tear-jerking video of Miles Straw, I texted you guys going, okay.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
I don't know. You made up a lot of things this time.
I did not. We can go back. Let's go to the tape. You said yesterday he doesn't deserve. He's like, no. You were adamant. You're like, no way they give Miles Straw video. He wasn't here long enough.
I might have said he didn't deserve it, but I don't know if I said he wouldn't get it. We'll talk about that in a little bit later.
All right.
Now, the people are hopping on here now. Blank Gray saying I'm a destructive person. I'm not a destructive person. I love positivity. I'm the beacon of
You love positivity. Shall we talk about Dusty Baker?
Yeah, ask Eric the dog walker.
Oh, he loves you. That's about one.
I'm a glass half full kind of guy. I'm not glass half empty. I love optimism and positivity. I feel like you have me painted in a bad light here.
Well, I might be Picasso, but there's so many people coming to the art gallery that are jumping on board with positive reviews that they're agreeing with me.
But things have gone right. I mean, maybe it's a backwards jinx, but for the most part, when Jeremy said something, things have gone well for the Astros.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
There's two separate things here. There's the negativity of Jeremy's ability to just completely crap on and bury careers. But there is the positivity of knowing that most of these guys are listening and then they take it as personal motivation. And a lot of times they snap out of it and show Jeremy how wrong he is, which I love. So that's the positivity of it. So I'm not going to say stop doing it because it also makes puts me in a very, very bright light. So I like it.
I could stop doing it, and you're just going to make up things that I say anyways. Here,
but of course. Why wouldn't
we? Okay, so you asked the question, Brendan Boos versus Jeremy Jinx. I would say it's a wash. I think we bring out the best in Astros and Houston, sports figures. We might have different ways
there. We still are here to entertain our audience. They get pissed off whenever you open your mouth in a situation like this. They actually like when Brendan does it because he did it in such a way that they could get behind it and say there's a movement that is taking shape to support Jake Odorizzi.
Yeah,
in yours was a funeral procession to bury eulogy.
Okay. Whenever Brendan came up with the Jake Over Easy song whenever he was struggling, which was Eminem's Stan in which the dude kills himself, that was the beacon of positivity.
You
that
don't hear positivity in this?
This was just the tie-in. So over the top positive.
This was just the tie-in.
Come on.
Eminem, Detroit, you know, the whole works. It was just a tie-in. It wasn't anything like to read into the lyrics.
Jeremy, this song doesn't get you just feeling optimistic.
This is a Brendan boost, according to Blankers. This is just something that you feel so happy and excited to go to work about.
Have you ever heard the term "whatever works"? Whatever works.
Whatever works. The Jeremy Jinks.
From the minute he started doing that, we took a guy that was on the scrap heap, ready to be thrown on the wayside in the DFA pile, and instead turned him into a reliable starter that looked like he had value again. So it's all credit to Brendan.
Is Blankers right? Am I a Debbie Downer? Is Brendan just this over-the-top, optimistic, exciting person that brings life to everything?
Don't fluff it up, Debbie Downer. You're far more destructive than that.
713-780-ESPN. We'll get your reaction on this when we come back. 713-780-3776. I might take off early today. Anyways, coming up next as well, we mentioned Miles Straw.
Don't chase down a plane if you have to do it.
Oh, yeah, we're going to get into that later, too. Yeah. I was sprinting down Dulles. Brendan has an interesting story he's going to share later on in the show as well. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776 on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It's Killer Beast on ESPN97.5 and ESPN92.5.
You're listening to ESPN97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Razor Shark commentaries delivered with a purpose. You found the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Are we about to have another 97.5 Do the Show B moment? LMK, so I can get on Twitch. You should be on Twitch anyways. Twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. I don't think we're going to have that moment, mostly because we're several states away. So that might be good here for the way that this show is going. Don't listen to them haters. Jeremy has been very much a Debbie Downer. I want a Friday fire because of your bad Tank Boulevard entry. Everyone wanted over easy gone, but don't put that evil on JB. And then Bizzle says we can split the Frankie's Friday fire. I would love to share a tomahawk with my guy Brizzle.
There you go.
That sounds like a great time.
You're not going to share one with Cody Stutes, but you could share one with Bizzle.
I'll share one with Stutes. That wasn't me saying that. If Stutes wants to be a big, big, mean jerk, that's on him.
Why is it got
to
be big?
But I would gladly, I mean, for sake of accuracy, I guess.
Ooh. Hey! So your days of, that went out the window. Now
You took that the wrong way. You took it literal. I meant it figuratively, where he's like a big jerk. Like, his level of jerkness is big, not him physically, Blankers. Come on.
What
are you trying to do to me?
Hey, by the way, randomly, because I was taking the girls to school today.
Yeah.
And John and Lance took a call, ended up being from Memphis, from a guy literally they were listening, I guess, online. And the guy, they were talking about you saw the United Airlines video about the guy that got knocked out by the ex-NFL player.
Oh, yeah. That was an ex-NFL player?
Yeah. He's playing in the CFL now. Yeah, he played for the Broncos. And so they were talking about all that, and the guy calls, and he's like, you guys got to realize, when a guy pulls his pants up like that and picks it up like the pant legs up, that means, you know, he's ready for business. They're going to fight. And all of a sudden, I'm like driving, and I go, wait a minute, there's another voice here. And another guy goes, no, be honest. What you're really saying is this. And they started going back and forth, and all of a sudden I go, what is going on here? There's
Two people on the phone?
One call, two people having an argument between them while John and Lance listened. And then they finally chimed in and was like, hang on a second. You said your name was, but we're hearing a second voice. And then the other guy goes, oh, yeah, I'm on here too. My name is Cash. And John Lance go, in 25 years of radio, that is the first time we've ever had two callers on one call to get their argument out in the open. And then John and Lance were like, so if you guys have an argument you want us to settle and let us get involved so we can take some shots at you, come on, bring it to us.
That's awesome.
It was crazy. It was fun. It was really entertaining.
I'm sad I missed that. I have to go. What hour was that? I'm going to check it out on the podcast a little bit later.
It was the late in the 7 o'clock hour.
Okay, I'll check it out. And, of course, all of you can check it out.
Yes.
ESPN975.com, all of our shows streamed live, including the Killer Bees, which you can catch all the time. All right, Miles Straw, back in Houston yesterday. Of course, Miles Straw, the legend that he is in the city of Houston. The zero World Series titles that Miles Straw has, the zero World Series championship rings that Miles Straw has. Miles Straw of 200 games with the Houston Astros, just barely more than one full season. Miles Straw with the career 134 hits, whereas, I mean, some of the best 134 hits we've ever seen in Houston Astros history, and that 256 batting average for Miles Straw, the zero-time All-Star, the zero-time Silver Slugger, the zero-time Gold Glove member. How about the Astros playing the welcome back video for Miles frickin' Straw, who they traded for a middle reliever last trade deadline?
I told you this was probably a Dusty-driven move, and he wanted to make sure his guy got taken care of. This is not – precedence has been set. Tad Brown was the king of this. Like, if Tad Brown was boys with anybody on the Rockets, even if they only had a cup of coffee with Houston, they were getting a video. And we used to joke about it on the show with Nick and Barry. We'd be like, tribute video? Oh, yeah. Because I would say, no, Tad had a relationship with him. Guaranteed, they're getting a video. And some of the most randoms of all, Clint Capella got a video. I mean,
Clint Capella had, like, a solid career with the Rockets, though.
I wouldn't say career. He had a solid couple of years with the Rockets.
It was the best draft pick that best first rounder that Morey ever made.
There was a couple, I'd have to text my people at the Rockets, but there was a couple of complete randos that were just like, at best, glorified role players that got videos.
Reese Gaines.
Yeah, no, we're not going to go that far. Wow, that was a name from the past I didn't expect to hear. No, it wasn't Reese Gaines or Sam Decker, but there were plenty of tribute videos to be had.
Yeah, Ocho, who loves Miles Straw, is saying to recognize, he said, Miles James Noble Straw to you, sir. Acknowledge his excellence. Look, I'm not sure the Astros won that trade. Like, I'm going back and forth. We'll get to that in a second. Yep. But should the – like, it is funny that you're celebrating a guy that almost had no success for your team. Like, he was a likable guy. They liked him in the clubhouse. I'm sure he was probably making some mound visits, if you will, which led to just his stock skyrocketing in terms of Astros lore. Like, I get that he's liked, and I just find it – like, I don't even disagree with doing it. Like, I think it's a good example to send around Major League Baseball. Oh, look at the Astros. They take care of their guys. Yeah. Oh, that's sweet of the Astros. So I do think that there is some value in doing that and just giving off the perception that you care about the players. It's just kind of like, what's the criteria there for you to have a welcome back video? Because Miles Straw doesn't seem like he would fit that criteria.
You know that that's the biggest thing with me when we have any of these discussions is we never know the criteria. Hall of Fame, MVP. I mean, there's so many different ways you look at so many of these different ways you get recognized. I think the one thing that you touched on is such a hot button in sports right now, in professional sports. And that is from Rafael Stone saying he wants to be known as a player's general manager, and that could mean either letting John Wall sit healthy at $40 million a year or trading James Harden to the team he wanted to be traded to, because he thinks that's going to have value down the road with agents and players who either want to play here for him because he takes care of his players, or agents that are going to want their players to play there because they're going to be treated the right way. I think that's a big thing today, and I think that's why a lot of franchises do it, because they want to be known as a destination or a landing spot because the team takes care of their players. And so that's where a lot of this comes from, is that everything today is a new age in sports in terms of, you know, you're dealing with these massive egos with these massive salaries, and now we're talking about situations where it doesn't matter how much money you're due to be made and how many years are left on your contract. If they want out, they basically are going to get their way, so you need to make them happy. And I think this is just another way that organizations are going to try and do it subtly.
Yeah, see, I'm actually okay with it. I'm going to mock it because it's hilarious that you're playing a video for Miles Straw. But overall, like, whatever. Like, it's the Astros' prerogative to do. It's not the same thing as retiring a jersey, even though that's kind of going, you know, a little bit too far sometimes, too, with certain players around different sports where it seems like everybody's getting a jersey retired, even though they're not even scratching the surface on the accomplishments necessary to get a jersey retired. It's something that's easily mockable, though, with the career that Miles Straw had. And then again, trading him for Phil Maton at last year's trade deadline that ticked off Dusty Baker. Dusty Baker, did you hear some of his quotes yesterday, by the way? No. He said how Miles Straw is one of his favorites.
Well, I told you that. I mean, that's why when we got down to it, you knew that it was a line in the sand drawn that James Click didn't want him playing Miles Straw anymore, and he wasn't listening and playing him anyway, that you knew how much Dusty loved Miles Straw, and you also got the message pretty clearly that James Click didn't think Miles Straw had a future with the Astros.
Dre said the video wasn't long at all. I mean, it couldn't be. If they played every single one of his career hits, it would have lasted about 22 seconds. Dre saying he got a small ovation as well. You think the Astros won that trade? I go back and forth on this pretty often. Like, it depends on the day when you ask me this on who I think won that trade. As we talk right now, May 24th, just before the 1 o'clock hour in the Central Time Zone, who do you think won that trade?
I mean, the way he's playing right now, I think it's kind of a wash because I still think that the Astros had to upgrade their bullpen, and Maton is still in it, and he's still a pretty key role player in that what they do in the bullpen pretty consistently night in, night out. So as it relates to Maton being a guy that has been effective and a guy that's had value for the Astros, he has some. It's undeniable, though I don't trust him when he gets the ball most times. But when you look at Miles Straw, he's still doing what he's doing, which is starting every game in center field. So it just depends on the needs. And if you truly believe with the message that has been sent, which was that James Click had other aspirations for center field long term for this team, it's kind of like they did with Bregman's boy, the catcher in AAA.
Pap.
Yeah, that at a certain point, they just tell him, look, we got Lee coming down the pike. We got another young catcher in the system. It's probably not in the cards for you to be an Astro and play catcher. We're going to send you somewhere like San Francisco where you can find a role where you can actually have a chance to possibly make a big league team, doing you a solid. This is another way we're talking about doing solids for players and or that agents notice so that you say you're taking care of your players. I think it was a win-win.
Yeah. It's even hard for me to call it a win-win. Like, to me, it's like a borderline win. Because Maton was something that they needed at last year's deadline. I don't think that they lost a whole lot in center field last year. And if Myers' injury didn't happen, I don't think we're even having this conversation, not even broaching the question. And Chaz McCormick actually has a better OPS right now than Miles Straw does, which, I mean, different types of players. Chaz is going to swing for the fences, have a very low average. I mean, Straw's average isn't all that high either because it's just not. But he does walk a lot on base, gets on base a little bit more, has the speed, of course, that Chaz doesn't have as well. So I think I give the slight lean to the Astros, but then also they got the prospect, the Yiner Diaz kid, who apparently swings the bat pretty good. He might end up being the whole swinging point of the trade.
Yeah, I think you can give it an incomplete. If you don't want to give it a win-win, you can give it an incomplete because – there's still one aspect of the trade that has to be evaluated in terms of what value he's going to have long term for the Astros.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776, on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. He's at Pac-Man Joel on Twitter. I'm at Jeremy Branham on Twitter, and the Twitch conversation going on very good right now, which is always something we like. All right, so which current Houston athletes do we think would deserve a video? And who gets one next? I want to kick that around on the other side. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. All teams covered, no talking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, be like me and take the day off work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at the ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Occasional Invitational presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting Kids Mill. This year's tournament will take place Tuesday, June 14th at 10:30 a.m. at Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer will receive beverages from Carbach Brewing Company, lunch from Mendocino Farms, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and an award ceremony immediately after the tournament. Register now at ESPN975.com. Should I start saying tournament?
No. Just like you shouldn't say golf. Like golf. Jake says golf. A day of golf.
Like the Gulf of
Mexico? It's not the
Mexico?
Gulf of Mexico, Jake. It's golf.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to bash anybody for butchering words. I got my own fights that I battle each and every day when it comes to the English language.
I thought that read you did, though. What's the first sentence? Be like you?
Yeah, be like me.
Be like you. Me. Be destructively across the city of Houston?
Let's be honest. We should all strive to be a little bit more like Branham in our lives.
Okay, let's move on.
Speaking of which, me being destructive, can I be destructive on Yuli Gurriel for a second again?
You already have. You had a eulogy for him, so why don't you just pile on?
We almost did. He was on the brink of a eulogy.
You were shoveling dirt on him.
I mean, I threw a few handfuls of dirt, yeah, but he was able to awaken. He came back to life for a brief moment, and I think we might be able to throw some dirt on him again.
See, here you go. Okay.
He was 10 for 20 with 3 home runs after we were about to eulogize him. Since then, Blankers, one for his last 18. So, like, which is it? Because those two are the exact same, right? I mean, 20 at-bats versus 18 at-bats. So we're seeing the same amount of sample. And I understand that 20 at-bats in Major League Baseball is a small sample. But also there was all the 100 at-bats prior to the 10 for 20 with 3 home runs. And now he's back for the one for the last 18. Here's where, like, Astro fans, where you, like, don't want to believe the things that sometimes you're seeing right before your eyes – more fans are going to put stock in the 10 for 20 with 3 home runs than the one for his last 18. Because that's what fans do, and I understand that, because you don't like to believe negativity when it comes to your teams. But you've had good and you've had bad of Yuli Gurriel since we almost eulogized Yuli Gurriel after his terrible start after 100-something plate appearances. So which of the two is he going to be, the 10 for 23 home runs, the one for his last 18?
I think he's actually becoming Lance McCullers, where it seems like he's good on the road and not so good at home right now. But I believe that the variable that has to be factored in here, unlike Bregman, is the age factor. Because at a certain point, you just realize that he's going to hit a wall. Like, Tom Brady is the exception to the rule because he keeps doing it. But most players, all of a sudden, maybe with no warning or notice, just fall off. And so you have to wonder in the back of your mind, unlike younger players, is Yuli just at a point where he can't catch up with the fastball anymore, or he can't do the things? Even the guys on the broadcast the other night were talking about the fact
that
normally with less than 2 outs and a runner on third base, it was a guarantee that he was going to get it in. And now you're not so sure, and he hasn't been able to do it as much. So I think that's the biggest factor. I still have faith in him because this is what he's done his whole life, is he's been, you know, a professional hitter. I believe that he's going to be okay, but I understand that doubt creeps in when you get to a certain age.
Flimsy saying that Yuli needs some pizza, which is...
how many times have I said that?
He needs the carbs. He needs muscle. I tried keto diet for a little while. I lost my power. Same thing with Yuli Gurriel.
I told him to get some beer and some pizza and just fatten up a little bit and go back to the old ways. Weeks ago, I was saying that, and I believe it today. I mean, I understand that you got to be sleek and sexy and more ripped up and did all these things in the offseason, but if it decides that in doing so, if it makes you a far worse baseball player, stop doing it.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Are you concerned about the most recent Yuli, 1 for 18?
Can you imagine, by the way, if you did that? I mean, you would go from being the next potential, like, Bob Costas or Mike Breen, and instead you would be Boom Goes the Dynamite guy, because you'd be svelte and skinny and wouldn't know what the hell to do when you got a microphone.
Huh, I don't know if I should take that as a compliment or as an insult. 713-780-ESPN. Let me know.
By the way, you're going to love this. So I hit up my guys at the Rockets during the break, and I said, who were the most randoms that you can remember doing tribute videos for? And he goes, well, I'll have to think about the recent ones, but I do remember for a fact Carl Landry, Chuck Hayes, Aaron Brooks, and Chandler Parsons.
I think all of those guys are more deserving than Miles Straw.
Chuck Hayes?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Chuck Hayes, my boy.
Yes, Chuck Hayes had how long was Chuck Hayes a Rocket? Like 6 or 7 seasons where he was providing junkyard,
I don't know if it was 6 or 7.
Rebounding. I mean, he was longer than just over
Aaron
1 and a half.
Aaron Brooks had a couple of different visits with the Rockets.
See, I think of the ones you mentioned, Aaron Brooks might be the lowest one on that list. And I loved Aaron Brooks. No, Chuck Hayes had, 6 years.
Did he really?
With the Rockets. 6 of his best years.
That's my boy. He's still a good friend. He works. He's actually a scout for the Rockets now.
That's what I thought, yeah. I love Chuck Hayes.
He was working this last year with Shengun.
Remember whenever LeBron bursted on the scene in the NBA, the Rockets would defend him with Chuck Hayes.
Sometimes, yeah.
That was bizarre. You had this big power forward trying to keep up with LeBron James because that was your best defensive option. Speaking to that same tenor, some of the current Houston sports figures in general, Astros, Rockets, Texans, Dynamos, Sabercats, whatever. Who should be the next tribute video in the city of Houston?
Well, I mean, they have to leave first, or they have to retire. I mean, obviously, you've got Yuli at the top of your list, so that you can pay proper tribute to a guy that you've crapped on when all is said and done, and you remember what great things he accomplished as an Astro, World Series champ, batting champ.
But I don't know if he ever plays on another team.
I think he plays with his brother for a year somewhere in Toronto or something.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That'd be interesting if that were to happen. Here's an interesting question for you. If Miles Straw gets a welcome back video, did Garrett Cole?
Oh, wow. That's a
great
question.
Garrett Cole was far more valuable as a Houston Astro than Miles Straw was.
He certainly was. But the way he left, because you know what? The other thing that was debated like long and hard was the Harden tribute video, which you knew Tad and Daryl were going to do. But there was a good portion of the population believed they shouldn't do it. But they had, but he did too many things while he was here to not do it. I'm not sure Dwight Howard got one.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I think a lot of it is like if you like the guy or not. Like Garrett Cole, obviously, what he did on the field deserves a welcome back video, and I don't remember if he got one or not.
I believe Chris Paul did.
ESPN, if you knew, did he?
I believe Chris Paul did, though. I believe James fought it tooth and nail, but I believe Chris Paul did.
7288 says Deshaun Watson.
Boy, I'll tell you what.
That guy's not getting a tribute video. But he should, with his his prowess on the field was better than Miles Straw's prowess on the field.
I think that this is something we need to discuss at Lefties. If Lefties can pay their rent and come back, so can Deshaun. And we should memorialize, just give him his props.
I really want to hang out with Cool Cat Cal.
I really do.
It's
it,
like on my bucket list.
That disturbs me more than just about anything that comes out of your mouth.
I want to sit in a beanbag in Cal's office and play video games with him. His game of choice. I don't even care. I'll let him pick. Cool Cat Cal. He can determine.
You are completely off the rails today. You just are.
Cool Cat Cal? You wouldn't like that? You wouldn't play video games with Cool Cat Cal?
Here's what I would like, because you have a tendency to put money on things. I would like you to do that and be able to – he picks a game that you know well and play well and that you could cash in. Like you
King
can start
Griffey Jr. Baseball on Super Nintendo.
Just start dropping wagers and start taking some of that cash so that you could actually profit off of it. Then I'd be really happy for you.
I don't know if I should tell this degenerate story or not.
Oh, of course you should.
have you ever bet a few bucks on a game of FIFA?
No, but I know plenty of Rockets that have.
Really?
That was their game of
you
choice.
You get me in those circles.
So when I worked for the Rockets, that was the game of choice. So whether it was Capella and Harden on a 3-hour flight, like getting so into it in the back of the plane, playing it with everybody watching, or every night pregame in the equipment manager's room, it was either Jason Terry, Trevor Ariza, Josh Smith, and everybody's like, I got next. No, I got next. And they would fight over the pre-FIFA games in the equipment room on like a 90-inch television. That was their game of choice when I was with the Rockets.
Yeah, FIFA's great. I think FIFA might be the best sports game ever. So don't say I don't love soccer. Here's a good one. I think this is the right answer. Zach Greinke.
I was just thinking that. I think Zach Greinke would get one. I think he was here long enough. I think he was just quirky enough.
Likeable.
I was going to say, the way he sat with the cardboard cutouts during the bubble season, I believe that. And you know, because of the World Series, because it was not his doing to come out of the game, because in the biggest possible moment in his Astros career, he stepped up for you, I think he would get one.
Yeah, I think he will get one. I mean, if they're giving one to Miles Straw, they're going to give one to Zach Greinke.
For sure.
Garrett Cole was back against the
Astros.
What about
Will Harris?
He shoved. Yeah, he was likable.
Until he wasn't.
Right.
Because he not only gave up the home run, he joined the team that he gave up the home run to. Then all the conspiracy theorists were like, this was planned. He did this because he knew he was going to Washington.
No one blamed him for the contract. No one blamed the Astros for letting him leave because he was in his mid to upper, like late 30s at that point.
It's a great move by the Astros based on how he's been since he joined Washington.
Don't give contracts to dudes that are going to be in their mid 30s. But that also wasn't a terrible pitch. Like Will Harris gets, a lot of, the infamous pitch he gave up to Howie Kendrick. It wasn't a terrible pitch. Like Howie, sometimes you just got to tip your cap. The other guy's on scholarship too.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a great season that year for the Astros. It's just that there's so many other variables, right? Was Will Harris the guy? Why didn't you go to Cole? You took out Greinke too soon. So it was all these different things that were moving pieces that were going to leave an indelible mark in a negative way in the memory of Houston Astros fans. And so all the things that were forgotten were the great season that he had, and everything that was remembered was he gave up the home run that cost the Astros the World Series. It's unfortunate, but that's sports.
Not Santa asking, did Vernon Maxwell get one with the Rockets?
There wasn't at a time when we were doing those back then. So, if you guys remember at the summit, they had those two just brutally cheap TV screens in each end zone way up high, and the center hung scoreboard didn't have video. So, yeah, no.
They've taken care of them, though, in recent years.
They've done a great job of trying to, on both sides. He's admitted and apologized for what he did when he was, you know, doing the tantrum that got him kicked off the team in Utah. And they've done a great job of kind of resurrecting his relationship with the team and getting him out there representing the team.
Who should the Astros, or not the Astros, just everybody in the city, who should they Pat welcome back? Would they welcome back? No, they can't welcome back.
That's he's there already.
Yeah. He's already home. Who should the city of Houston welcome back with a welcome back video the next time they play
against Russell Westbrook?
Their former Houston team. Love Russ. 713-780-ESPN. 713-780-3776. Coming up next, what's the craziest place you've ever ran into somebody that you know? Brendan's got an airplane story, airport story, a day after I did. That's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. But first, we have a big one coming up this Saturday on Showtime Pay-Per-View. Lightweight champion, boxing's hottest young attraction, Tank Davis. Undefeated, puts his belt on the line, his perfect record on the line against the number one contender, mandatory challenger, and the undefeated Rolando Romero. If you're like me and you love big-time boxing, this is the fight card of the year. Two undefeated boxers going toe-to-toe with the belt and both of their undefeated records on the line. We know Davis, 24 of his 26 wins coming by knockout, one of the hardest punchers in all of boxing. And you know the Mayweather promotion protege is going to sell out the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, but his opponent, Romero, he packs a punch too. 14-0 in his career with knockouts in 10 of his last 11 fights, a pair of stars, both with knockout power, fighting for the belt. Do not miss it. Order now. And again, five-time world champion Gervonta Tank Davis defending his WBA lightweight title against number one ranked contender Rolando Romero. Two undefeated fighters in a matchup for the ages live on pay-per-view Saturday, May 28th at 8 Central. Go to Showtime.com to order now.
Loot and Raid rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar. Your favorite clean, functional, delicious nutrition brand is raising the bar with a little help from Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry. IQBar and Thomas Keller have teamed up to create a salted caramel chip protein bar and yuzu mango hydration mix. With toasted macadamia nuts, rich caramel flavor, and brain-boosting nutrients, this bar is like having a Michelin star meal in your pocket. Pair it with the taste bud tingling Yuzu Mango IQ Mix Hydration Mix, packed with magnesium and adaptogens to improve clarity and mood. With Keller's culinary excellence and IQ Bar's commitment to great taste and clean ingredients, this limited edition collaboration is simply mwah. And the best part is that 10% of sales go directly to Chef Keller's nonprofit, Mentor, that supports aspiring young chefs. Great taste, great nutrition. Great mission. Go to IQBar.com today and enter promo code KELLER20 to get 20% off all IQBar products plus free shipping. That's IQBAR.com, promo code KELLER20.